Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1. And I'll ask you to stand with me if you would. Luke chapter number 1. The reason we stand, no differently than saying amen or clapping for something that's a blessing to you, is we stand to honor God's word. You know, when you enter a courtroom, they say, all rise. And everybody gets up, you know, doesn't ask any questions and think about it. Let me be clear with you. What we're standing for this morning is the Lord and his word. So I won't make you stand the whole time. We're just going to read a few verses here. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse number 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. That's a good thing, by the way. And if you're here this morning and you're saved, you found favor with God because of Jesus Christ. And you're blessed. And it says this in verse 31, Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. That's an understatement, right? He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, and by the way, that knowing not a man, that's in a physical way. Isn't it? She never knew a man, never saw one before. That's definitely not what that meant. But more so that she was pure, she was a virgin. And the Bible says in verse 35, The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. A little bit ago, we had a little ultrasound thing up here. You know what that was? That was a little thing inside of Miss Dini. Amen. But this, the Bible says, this is a holy thing that shall be born unto Mary, shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. And I want you to look at verse 37, and I want you to notice it and pay attention to it. The Bible says, For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And I want you to remember that this morning. We're going to talk about the impossibility of Christmas. And remember that regardless of how you feel at times or what you think, nothing shall be impossible with God. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Brother Chris Padgett, if you would, sir. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Today, to hear your word, to have the complete gospel in our Amen. Hearts, we can read it and learn it and know it. And God, to have the bloodshed of Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary for the remission of sin, to know that we can still be justified and sanctified, and that you're not done changing people's lives. Amen. Still hope. Amen. No matter how bad things may seem, God, they could always be worse. Amen. Yeah. They can do, but it's the sacrifice that you've already done. And we'll give you all the glory. And we thank you for that great gift and the possibilities that we have through you. And God, we thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated if you would. You know, God is the God of the impossible. You know that? I mean, there's some of you here this morning that never thought you'd be on a church, let alone a church on the side of a bank. Amen. God is the God of the impossible, and the Lord reveals that to us through His Word. And what's interesting about this chapter in Luke chapter 1 is that earlier in the chapter, God deals with another couple that is having a different kind of problem. They are actively trying to have a child, and they can't. And God reveals to Zacharias through a very interesting and supernatural situation that they're going to have, Zachariah and Elizabeth are going to have a baby. And if you remember the story, it goes a little something like this. Zechariah is a priest, and he goes in to serve in the temple. And as a priest of the temple, he was of the course of Abijah. That was his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather from the tribe of Levi. And it was his job within that course to make sure that the altar of incense, that the incense was lit, and that everything was working as it should on the altar of incense. That was his job. We know from the Bible that incense is a picture of prayer. And as that incense goes up, the prayers of God's people go up with them. And the Bible tells us in Luke 1, earlier in the chapter, that Zechariah goes into the temple, and he's kind of been in there for a long time. And everybody's kind of worried because it's a little bit longer than normal. And they're kind of thinking, man, what's going on? But nobody dares goes in because they know if they go in, they could die. Only the priests were supposed to go into that holy place. And as the story goes, while the crowd is forming outside and they're praying, and their prayers are going up and the incense is going up, God is doing something supernatural on the inside of that temple. And the Lord reveals himself through an angel of the Lord to that man, that servant of God, Zechariah, and he says, you know what? You're going to have a child. But Zechariah, because he didn't believe what God said, went mute and he couldn't speak. Remember that story? And he comes out and he's trying to sign language. He doesn't know how to sign language. So he starts writing stuff down. And they realize, man, this guy must have seen something from God. And what God tells him basically is this: look, I'm going to do something that is impossible according to man's standards. And that conversation becomes a public event that everybody knows about in the early part of Luke chapter number 1. And everybody's excited, waiting for that baby. And I just realized this, man, babies must come in threes. We got one. We got Serene. We've got Megan and Steon moving from South Africa, and they're coming with a baby. All right, I don't know whoever's next, but, you know. And no, don't worry. I didn't forget about that. She's next. She's coming this week, right? And so she's going to have one out. We got three more on the way. And man, what a thing. I thought you were raising your hand to say you were. No? Okay. No, Brother James is like, no. Don't do that to us. Amen. He's like, we'll love your kids. We don't want another one. Amen. But you understand what I'm saying? It was a supernatural event that took place that everybody knew about. Now, I want you to fast forward to where we're at in Luke chapter 1, later in the chapter, where the angel Gabriel speaks to Mary. But this situation is different. This situation is much more private. The first one is an impossible situation, and God says, man, everyone's going to know about this right away because Zechariah can't speak. But this one is a little bit different. As we learn, look if you would at Luke chapter 2, look if you would at verse number 19. Can I show you something about Mary's character while we're looking in that direction? Luke chapter 2, look if you would at verse number 19. And the Bible says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Look at Luke chapter 2 and verse number 51. You mean to tell me Mary didn't go on Facebook and Instagram and go, pregnant, you know, gender reveal, it's going to be a boy, you know, the angel Gabriel told me so. She didn't do any of that stuff. You say, what did she do? She pondered those things in her heart. You know what that means? It was a supernatural revelation that God gave her. You know what God said, basically? I'm going to do something that is impossible, that nobody else can do, and you kind of have to keep it to yourself for a little bit. You know, I heard years ago somebody said, in the beginning, God made man in his own image. And ever since then, man has been trying to return the favor. And what that means, what that has to do with this message is that we kind of put God in our own box. Now, let me be very clear with you. The only box that God should fit in is the one that is yay big right here. Right? Because this is where you find out who God is. But what we do in our own lives, we go, God, listen, I know what you did back then. That was great. That was awesome. But you can't work like that anymore. Listen, I have been the first one to tell you that God did some things supernaturally in the Old Testament, in the beginning of the Gospels and all that. And maybe God will speak to us in a different way today, and we've studied that. But I want to be clear with you. God is the God of the impossible.
That has not changed. And there are situations in your life where you look at them, if you're honest today, and you go, there's no way God could do that. There's no way that's ever going to happen. Yeah, that'll work for them, but not for me. You know what that is? That's a lack of understanding of who it is you're dealing with. Can I just say this? Christmas, by man's standards, if you will, the birth of our Savior is an impossibility, amen? How does a virgin have a child? How does somebody know everything about this person before they're born? How does this being out in the universe speak to man and say to man, I'm going to tell you his name, I'm going to tell you where he's born, I'm going to tell you how he's going to be born, I'm going to tell you what he's going to do in his life, I'm going to tell you how he's going to die. How does somebody, all of what I'm telling you, by man's standards, is impossible. You say, why? Because you're dealing with the God of the impossible. The word impossible means that that cannot be. It means impracticable, not feasible, that which cannot be done, and yet it happened, amen? Yet the fact is God became a man. God became a baby, if you will. The Lord humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a servant, became a man. Why did he do all of that? To prove that he is the God of the impossible, and he cared enough about your soul to show you that. Can I say this? God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan only things that can be done by ourselves. A.W. Tozer said that. The Bible says when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said to them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. One time in Matthew 17, Jesus says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Please understand, you are in a church that rightly divides the Bible, that understands some of the signs that God gave those Jewish disciples were apostolic signs for that age. I'm not trying to go back on that. I'm simply trying to say, if we would learn who it is that we're dealing with in our lives, it might be that God would do more of the impossible. Let me say this. God is not limited to your belief. God is not, listen, you go, I don't believe in gravity. Doesn't matter. It's still a law in the universe. All right? And you can go, well, are any of us really here, man? You can think that all you want. But there's a reality to our situation. You not believing what God said does not mean God can't do it. It might limit him working in your life, but it doesn't mean he's not the God of the impossible. I mean, think about this, guys. He spoke the world out of nothing. He made man from the dust of the ground. He parted the Red Sea. He caused the sun and the moon to stand still. He fed his people from heaven. He sent fire down from heaven. He brought plagues on Egypt. He did what everyone said could not be done. You say, why? He's the God of the impossible. He said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Can I remind you, he brought back a 12-year-old girl from the dead. Everybody in that house says, there's no way. He goes, oh no, she's not dead. She's just resting. And you know what they did? They laughed. So God didn't go, they don't believe in me, so I'm just going to leave. You know what he did? He told them to get out of the house. He said, you get out of the house and let me do my work. And what the Bible says that they were all amazed. What he took a 12-year-old girl that everybody thought was dead, and he brought her back to life. You say, what is that? That's the impossible. You know what Jesus Christ did? He healed a blind man by spitting into his eyes. You say, what is that? Oh, that's disgusting. That's the impossible. Amen. You say, what else did Jesus do? He has a woman touch his garment and automatically spins around and goes, who touched me? You know what that story reminds me of? For you moms that can multitask, honestly, like when I have a kid talking to me, daddy, 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 daddy. You know, mom could have, mommy, I need this homework. I got this question on. Mommy, where's my sock? And mommy, where's this? And mom's like, sock's over here. You left it over here. I put it over here. That homework answer is this. I've got the coffee on. I have lunch ready at 12:30. And she's doing all this stuff. And I'm going, I don't understand what's going on. And then there's a little kid next, daddy, daddy. And then she'll go, after all that, do you not hear your son? That is what a mom does. Thank God for moms. Amen. And it kind of reminds me of what goes on in the crowd where you got everyone pushing and shoving, and all of a sudden Jesus turns around and he goes, who touched me? And Peter's like, what do you mean who touched you? Everyone's touching you. But that touch felt different, and Jesus turns around and just through his words heals a woman supernaturally. And say, what is that? That's impossible. You know, they said, nobody can raise the dead. Well, over in John chapter 11, you know what Jesus said? He said, Lazarus, come forth. And you know what, Brose? He came forth. And you know what's better than that? I oftentimes go, why did he say, Lazarus, come forth? Well, number one, I kind of think he liked the relationship with Lazarus, and he wanted Lazarus to know he's talking to him. But number two, if Jesus just said, come forth, you know what happened? Everybody be getting out of the ground. You know who you're dealing with? You're dealing with the God of the impossible. You know what they said about Jesus Christ? You know what we'll do? We'll lie about him. We'll put him in bonds. We'll arrest him. We'll make him look like a criminal. And you know what they'll do? They will shout. The masses will shout. They will demand that we release a criminal. Doesn't it sound like 2020? And that we crucify the Messiah. They won't know what hit him. And you know what they said? We'll keep him down. He'll stay dead. And 3 days later, he rose. Amen? See why? He's the God of the impossible. That's your Savior. He takes the poor and makes them rich. He takes the empty and makes them full. He looks at a woman that brings two little pennies and he goes, that's treasure right there. He sees things so differently. He does things so differently. You know, one of the problems that we have is that we try to do everything on our own without asking for help. You know what Christmas reminds us of? You are limited. God is not. Everything about the story of the birth of the Savior, you know what it reminds us? Man is limited, but God is not. And when I think about where we're at in our life, you know what Jesus says? He says, without me, in John 15, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, ye can do There's an old preacher named Campbell Morgan that would visit these old ladies in this church, and he would sit down with them and read the scriptures to them. And they would just sit there, bodies just racked with pain and getting ready to meet their Savior, and they'd rock back and forth, and they would just smile. And one day he's reading a passage of scripture that says, lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world. And he said, isn't that a wonderful promise, dear sister? And without missing a beat, she just keeps rocking. She goes, son, that ain't a promise. That's a fact. You say, what is that? You know what Jesus, you know what God is? God is the God of the impossible, and that is a fact. It's not just an attribute of his character. It is who he is. To dwell in and to exercise the impossible in our lives. You say, oh, preacher, you're trying to, you know, prop me up and make me think, you know, if you just want $1 million, God will give it to you. God isn't your genie in the lamp. Don't misunderstand me this morning. All right? That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is there are some things that God wants to do that the world will look at and say, there's no way that can happen in your life, and you'll listen to the world and not listen to God. He wants to do the impossible in your life. Amen. Do you know what it takes to make something impossible? It's never been done before. You know, it's no longer impossible, God becoming a man. You say, why? He did it. You know what they said? It can't happen. A virgin can't bear a child. God couldn't do it this way. God wouldn't work that way. You know what God did? He proved them all wrong. You know what happens to a lot of people? A lot of people today will listen to talking heads. Some of you will listen to what the talking heads say on the news. You'll listen to what the experts say. You'll listen to what Dr. So-and-so. And listen, I'm not saying it's all wrong. I'm just saying you will very quickly and very swiftly embrace what someone that sounds or appears to be an expert in a certain area of life might say to you, a psychologist, whatever it may, a financial expert. But when it comes to God and God's working in your life and God's saying, I want to do this, whatever this may be in your life, it might be in your marriage, with your children, in this church. Guys, if you told me that God's going to fix our van for us, you say, well, did God come down and, you know, grab a wrench and did God? No, no. He worked through his people, right? But let me just say this, a year ago, it was impossible. And we looked into the financial options and, man, God had to work, and thank God that he did. But whatever it may be, whatever area of your life that you're looking at right now and going, there's no way God can do it. Can I remind you
that the Bible says in our passage, with God, nothing, nothing shall be impossible. I'll put some parameters around that. God will never break his word to do something for us. But when it lines up with his word, you know what you need to stop doing? Stop saying it can't be done. As long as you say it can't be done, can I say, it's not that God is limited to our faith in the sense that he won't work. It just might be that we won't see him work in our lives like he could. Brother Chris, can I ask you up front, just for everybody, did you see living in Colorado 15 years ago, did you see everything God's doing in your life and all the doors that the Lord is opening? Would you have said, maybe that sounds like an impossible thing? I have lived in the same county since I was 9 months before I popped out, amen? I have lived in the same county in Florida my whole life. It would seem impossible to his family that God would call him and move him to Colorado to start a church in Loveland in northern Colorado. That would seem impossible to people in his life. If you were to ask people when I was a teenager, is that kid going to be a pastor? They would have said, that is impossible. Amen. You know what God likes to do? He likes to do the impossible in our lives. What is impossible for you, for me and you, to God, it's not too hard to do. There is no promise God can't fulfill. There is no fear he can't distill. There is no prayer God can't answer. There is no storm he can't anchor. There is no problem God can't resolve. There is no sin he can't absolve. Amen. Thank God for that. There is no place God can't send revival. There is no enemy he can't bridle. What is too hard for each one of us is much easier when in God we trust. If you told me a year ago, when my daughter was making multiple visits to the ER with a problem that we couldn't figure out, if you told me a year ago that she would be at the place that she's at right now, making plans to go to Bible school, I would have said, that's not possible. But can I say this? I'm glad I serve a God that does the impossible. Amen. Brother Billy, a couple years ago you had those strokes. You know what they said to him? He'll never talk or walk again. I don't know, whenever I know this much, Brother Billy can talk to a light pole, amen? And by the end of the conversation, the light pole will be his best friend. And they'll know all about his exploits. And you know what? He's talking, amen? And you know what? He's walking as well. You say, what is that? No, we did not have like, you know, Kenneth Hopeland, be healed. You know, no one did that to him, okay? We didn't have some kind of faith healer come in here with snakes or whatever else. You know, we had some people that prayed, and God answered that prayer. But according to men's standards, that was impossible. I'm thankful. I'm thankful to serve the God of the impossible. I'm thankful that when I consider what Jesus Christ did for me by man's standards, you know what the old question, can a clean thing come out of an unclean thing? Can I say this? All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us are defiled. All of us are dirty. And yet because the blood of Jesus Christ, we're made clean. That is an impossible miracle by religion standards. But thank God, we're not operating by religion standards. We're operating by God's word. And God's word brings us the impossible. Can I just say a few things as we try to get to this quickly? I know what time it is. Number one, thank Brother James for fixing the clock. You say, what time is it? It's only 11 a.m. Guys, we got lots of time. Let me say this, number one, our inability to understand does not keep God from doing the impossible. Look, if you would, at Luke chapter 1 and verse 34, can I point out to you, I'm not picking on Mary at all. As a matter of fact, if some angel came to you and said, I'm going to do something, God's going to do this, you might have some questions for that angel, right? There may be some things that you ask and go, huh, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Can I get a little bit more information? But let me also say this, God does not need our understanding to do what he's going to do. And I want you to understand, look if you would at verse 34
After he gets done telling her everything about this child, look at verse, 31. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall become the son of the highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever and ever and ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Let me just say this right now. I know this much. Anytime there's a baby on the way, everybody's excited, right? Miss Andrea, I know you're excited. Every time we talk about Christmas Eve, you know, there's a twinkle in her eye, and everybody's excited. Now, you may not be as happy that particular day in the process of labor, but that baby coming, man, that's really exciting stuff. And man, what a blessing. They've got one coming. And there they got one coming. And people coming from other countries are coming, and they've got one coming. Amen. And oh, everyone's excited about babies. Isn't that great? But let me tell you something. Everybody looks at their child and they go, man, you're the greatest. But man, he was the greatest. He really was. When the Bible says he shall be great, I mean, ladies, think about a man who never would lie to you. There's always a few grunts and moans. And think about a man who would always put you first. A man that would never behave himself unseemly toward you. A man that never thought a dirty thought about another one. That is an impossibility by human standards. And yet it was done through Jesus Christ. What a great man he was and is. Amen. But can I say this? She gets done hearing all of that. Do you realize what she responds to? Look at verse 34. How shall this be? I don't even necessarily think it's a lack of faith as much as what we are wired to do as human beings. We question what we don't understand. And there are times where we see God working and we don't quite understand it. And so naturally we go, okay, well, how exactly is that going to work? Come on, guys. Listen, if God showed you everything that would happen in your life, you could not handle it at one time. God is not limited to our understanding of the situation. As a matter of fact, can I bring something up that may sound a little bit off to some of you? I understand that. I do not rejoice in the loss of life. I do not rejoice in the economic hardship. I do not rejoice in some of the trials that people have gone through because of COVID. I take no pleasure in that whatsoever. But can I say this? While we don't understand it, you know one thing I can tell you? More people have gotten saved at New Heights Baptist Church in 2020 than in any other year before. You know why I believe part of that is? People are searching. And while we sit back and we don't understand it all, God is still working. Go to Acts 22 with me. We were here on Wednesday night. There was something I didn't show you that I think fits right into what we're talking about. Acts chapter 22. Ignore the screams of the tormented. I mean the nursery. It's okay. Everything's fine. Nothing's wrong. Acts 22. Look at verse number 10. We have soundproofed the snot out of that room. Amen. So when a scream breaks through, they're just having a good time. All right? Acts 22. Look, if you would, at verse number 10. And I said, after Saul gets saved, what shall I do? That's a normal question. I mean, anybody here gotten saved this year? Raise your hand if you just got saved this year, would you? Got one, two, all right. I got three, four, five, six, all right. We got a number of people. You know what's great about that? You know what the next question is that you normally naturally ask? Lord, what do you want me to do? Yeah. Lord, where do I go from here? Yeah. And let me just say this. God did not break down, okay, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be beaten. You're going to be shipwrecked. People are going to hate your guts. And you're going to go, and man, your own people are going to reject you, and you're going to be beaten with rods, and 40 times save one. That's going to happen 3 times to you. And then they're going to throw you over a basket, over a wall. I mean, if he told him everything that was going to happen, how do you think Paul would have responded to that? Do you know what God does? Look, if you would, at verse 10. He says, arise, go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. Look at verse 16. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wait a minute. In verse 10, you didn't tell me I was going to get baptized? Exactly. Correct. Why? You didn't need to know that then. You needed to handle this right here, and once you did that, and I was working your life, I was doing what everybody, by the end of Paul's life, you know what they would say? They would point at Paul and go, how does a guy that hated people in the church and was killing them and rounding them up and throwing them into prison, how does that guy become the voice of Christianity? You know what the world would say? It was impossible. You know what God did? He just showed him what he needed to know next. Paul didn't understand it all. Matter of fact, you know what Paul says? The Lord gave me some mysteries. You know what mysteries are? Things we don't understand. God is not limited to our lack of understanding. God, and listen, Brother Christian, maybe it happened differently with you. Maybe the Lord talked to you about this. The Lord never came to me and said, Brother Adrian, Pastor, what, my servant, what would you want out of COVID? What is it exactly? How should I run this thing? And how do you think we should work this out? And let me explain everything that's going to happen this year. And let me just, God doesn't do that. You know what happens? God is God, amen? And we get to exist in the universe that he created. And after you get saved, God has a plan for your life. You may not understand it all at one time, but it's an impossibility for God to do what he's done in so many people's lives in this room. And you know what? You did not understand it all at the same time. Look, if you would, at verse 21 of Acts 22. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Well, that's not the first thing you said. Nope. But every time you responded to what seemed impossible in your life, I gave you more truth. And I gave you more understanding. Guys, can I say this? Our church being here this year, I'm not bragging on our church, I'm bragging on the Lord. I have people that in business, for most of you know I work a secular job, and we're talking with other executives of these companies, and some of them know I'm a pastor, and I'm like, yeah, we're having a candlelight service, you know. How are you doing? And I'm like, we turn the lights off, we light the candles. They're no. They're like, no, like, how do you guys have church? I'm like, we have church. Amen. Right? And I'm not being belligerent when I say this, but we're having church. Do you realize there are some people that are here right now simply because we're doing what seems impossible. And the world may not understand it, and we may not always understand everything that's going on, but let me just say this, our God's the God of the impossible. Our lack of understanding doesn't limit God one bit. You know what Jesus says to his disciples one time? Why reason ye? Because ye have no bread. Perceive ye yet not, neither understand. Listen to this. Have ye your heart yet hardened? Here's what I've learned about God doing the impossible in the midst of us. When we don't understand it, oftentimes it's not an intellectual problem. It's not a problem of the capacity of the mind as much as it is where our hearts are at. You know what he said to his disciples? He said, look, the reason you don't understand, the reason you're not getting it is because your heart is hard. And you'll believe these people, but you won't believe. Can I ask you a question? Listen, you know what some people do on social media? They get self-validation, you know? And it's just, you know, I mean, come on, let's be honest. 2020, can we be honest this morning? Is that okay? Transparency? Is that okay? All right, lady takes a picture of herself, puts it up. You're beautiful. You're wonderful. Oh, I wish I had that face. You know what some of that is? Some of it, I'm not saying all of it, self-validation. Now, if God tells you, you're beautiful the way I made you, that's good. That's what God has to say. Come on, I've got teenage girls. If I say they're beautiful, you have to say that. No, I don't. I could say you're ugly. Right. If I thought it, but I don't, so I won't. Right? You know, it's like, well, I believe, you know, if a real handsome, you know, boy band guy told me, hey, baby, you're beautiful. then I would believe it. Now, that problem carries through into adulthood. Are you hearing me? Well, it just seems so impossible. Why? God told you he would do it, but you won't believe him. You say, well, it's not an intellectual issue. It's really more an issue of the heart. Robert Smith said, it is idleness that creates impossibilities. And where people don't care to do anything, they shelter themselves under a permission that it cannot be done. You know what Abraham became? The Bible says, the friend of God. How does a created being become a friend of the Creator? That's impossible because there's this thing between us called sin. How do we, you know what he did? The Bible says he believed God. Look, if you would, at Luke
chapter number 2, Luke chapter number 2. Our lack of understanding doesn't keep God from the impossible. Can I say this secondly? The world's lack of interest doesn't keep God from the impossible. Can I just say this? The world is probably right now, and I'm not saying all that I'm saying is wrong, but the world is probably less interested in what's going on in the hearts and minds and souls of those gathered in a church on the side of a bank. They're a little bit more concerned with the Grammys that are coming up and the Super Bowl and what about the vaccine and if I get it, will it look like this, you know? Or I heard about a nurse that took it on live TV and fell over and don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain. No, you know, it's no big deal. And what are we going to do about this? Is it good? Is it bad? And that's where the world's mind is at. I'm not saying that it's all bad. I'm just saying that the world is never going to be like, I want to see God work. And I want to see God do the impossible. The world likes a thrill. They just don't want God to be a part of it. Luke chapter number 2. Can I show you who God shows up to? Now, you know the story. You know it well. We're going to have kids in a little bit, you know, candlelight service. They're going to be coming up as shepherds, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And, oh, it's so cute. You say, what do we get it from? Luke chapter 2. The Bible says here in Luke chapter 2, verse number 8, they were in the same country, shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. What's amazing to me is that, I don't know if you guys know this, but Apple bought the rights to Peanuts. Anybody know that? To all the Charlie Brown specials. I wonder if they're going to fact check when Linus reads Luke chapter 2. And they're going to go, independent fact checkers found out that this did not actually happen in the first century. I don't know, but I know this much. It happened. Amen? And the Bible says here that the Lord, when he shows up and decides, some of you guys, now for the next 30 minutes, you're going to be like, Apple, fact check. Let's get back to the Bible, okay? Luke chapter 2, look if you would at verse number 8. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Don't you think if God wanted to get the message out, he could have gotten it to a king? I mean, come on, guys. If you were God, wouldn't you like find a more effective way of marketing this whole event? Would you reveal yourself to shepherds? I mean, would you show, okay, think about it like this. If you were going to show up, would you show up in Bennett or in Denver if you're God? Right? You show up in Denver, more people see it, everybody's talking about it, it's a big deal, you know. You wouldn't show up to some farmer on the backside of nowhere. You wouldn't show up to a group of people that by men's standards are not high in esteem in the population of the society. You probably would show up to a king, to an ambassador of a nation, to some great person, and you would get that message out because of that. But you know how God, listen, you go, well, Herod found out. Herod got it third party, okay? God did not show up to Herod, he never did. Even when the other Herod, his son or grandson, was there before Jesus Christ, he says, hey, Jesus, show me a miracle. Hey, show us what you can do. And Jesus was silent. God never showed up to Herod, but he showed up to some shepherds. Do you ever ask yourself why that is? Is it possible that maybe the world doesn't really care so much about what God's doing? Maybe it was because he went to some people who would actually pay attention. Do you hear anything about that? I can tell you this. Johnny got saved Wednesday night. Sean got saved recently. It was not in the front page of the Denver Business Journal. And it never will be. It never made it to 30,000 hits on YouTube. It never made it to some great post in a professional networking site like LinkedIn. Listen, God doesn't need all of that. Do you understand that? God doesn't care that the world doesn't care about what he's doing. He's going to keep being God. I like the story where, you know, so far, up until this year, we've always had girls in the house. And, man, little boys are different. This morning, I came into the room. I never do this to my girls. I woke the boys up with a sword. I said, get out of bed. You know what Ethan's response was? Hey, that's my sword. He
He's like, where'd you find him? I'm like, where you left it. Oh. Boys are kind of different in how they like things, how they tell stories. And you can leave them in a room and, you know, a girl will be like, you know, playing with her stuff. Boys like, and I'm like, what are you guys doing? You told us to play in the room. Can you do it without sounding like it's World War III? Okay. 5 minutes later, it's just, anybody know what I'm talking about? All right. My wife goes up to Brother Chris. He was in car sales. She goes, we need a new vehicle. He said, what happened? They have destroyed it. Boys are different than girls. And I know this much. You keep a boy's interest by talking about people getting beat up and hit and punched. And right? And so I read this story in Acts 18 where the Bible says they brought this guy Sosthenes before the chief ruler, or before the deputy there. This guy named Gallio. Gallio's a deputy. He's a leader within the Roman government. And he's sitting on his judgment throne. And they bring this guy, that's hard to say. Say that five times fast. Sosthenes, and they beat him up right in front of him. You know what the Bible says about Gallio's response? He cared for none of these things. He's kind of jaded. Do you know where the world's at today? Kind of jaded. And they don't notice when God is even there. Doesn't mean he's not. And it doesn't mean he can't do the impossible. Their interests are in different things. Alabama versus Florida. Who won? I don't know. I don't care. Stanford versus UCLA. Did you know Wonder Woman 1984 is coming out on HBO Max? You could get it free for like 7 days. And then, you know, and then it's only $15 a month. Listen, if anyone leaves church today and goes and signs up for HBO Max, please let them know they owe me money. Do you understand what people are thinking about and what they're interested in? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know what I'm trying to get at? The world has never paid a lot of attention to God until this late in the game. Can I say they ignored Noah? Until it started raining. They did not notice God having a conversation with some Bedouin on the backside of the desert until that Bedouin's family became a mighty nation that left Egypt overnight. The world didn't care about a shepherd that killed a lion until that shepherd boy killed a giant. They were too busy following the exploits of Alexander the Great and Genghis Khan and everybody else to notice a baby born in a manger. But they notice him now. And they'll notice him forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look with me if you would at verse number 27. You know what God does? He chooses some things that we wouldn't choose. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You know what God does? He does stuff the opposite way that you and I would do it. You know why he does the impossible? Because he does it that way. What the world ignores today, they will someday acknowledge later. When the gospel is preached and it is clearly shown that if you, without Jesus Christ, have the option to pay for your sins forever in a place called hell, or you allow Jesus Christ to pay them for you, a sinner might go, I'll figure out my own way. That's okay. I don't really care. But someday they'll acknowledge it as being true. You see, what the world ignores today, tomorrow they will eventually acknowledge. You know what they're saying now? Oh, Christians have been talking about Jesus coming back for years. You one of those Jesus freaks? You one of those prophecy weirdos and all that kind of stuff? And you know, they've been saying that for years. Someday they'll notice. You know what the world says about all that right now? It's impossible. David Platt said, God actually delights in exalting our inability. He intentionally puts his people in situations where they come face to face with their need for him. You know, the Lord wants to do the impossible in your family, in your home. He wants to reach others through you.
Can I say this? He wants to do the impossible in your church. The question is, will we be a part of it? Look at Matthew chapter 3, last point today, wrapping this up. Can I say lastly, our insecurities don't keep God from the impossible? Amen. Let's be honest in here. If I were to take a poll, you don't have to raise your hand. Who in here has an insecurity about something? Man, I think everyone would raise their hand about it, right? Whether it's about appearance or whether it's about finances, or there's an insecurity in our lives somewhere. Maybe many. Let me just say this. Our insecurities don't keep God from doing that which is impossible. Look at Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 2. This is where the wise men come to Herod. And the Bible says when they got there, they said, "Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For you have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, the Bible says he was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. Do you realize sometimes when God's working, it troubles us? You know what it makes us? A little insecure. Can I say this? Sometimes trouble in our lives, we think of trouble as a bad thing, but sometimes trouble is a good thing. You know, in John chapter 5, the Bible speaks of an angel that would come down and trouble the waters. And the way that they got their healing in John 5 was by stepping in the midst of waters that had been stirred and thus troubled. You know what God does in our lives sometimes? Sometimes he just steps in and starts mixing it up a little bit and stirring things up. And we don't always like it. It makes us insecure. But let me tell you right now, sometimes that's the greatest way for God to do the impossible in your life. I know this much, if you're lost without Jesus Christ, hearing about eternity kind of makes you feel a little insecure. Aren't you thankful, you that know that you're saved, aren't you thankful for something called eternal security? Amen. With all the insecurities I have, I don't have to worry about my eternity anymore, thank God. Trouble is a good thing sometimes. The Bible says all of Jerusalem was troubled with Herod. Can I point out to you that insecure people always kind of have to bring a crowd around them? You notice that? It says that Herod was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. You know what we assume? That if 100 people agree with me and one disagrees, that one must be wrong. What if the one is God? Like, we're just naturally, we go, if I have more people around me, then I feel secure. If I've got more people around me, then I know I'm right, and I'm safe, and I'm secure. And you know what God does sometimes? He gets us away from the crowd. Can I point out to you that he shows up to Moses when he's alone? He shows up to Jacob when he's alone? He shows up to Elijah when he's alone and afraid and running for his life? What am I saying? It's not about you relying on what you think will make you secure for God to work in your life. Sometimes it's the opposite. What a tragedy that Herod comes so close to the truth and never gets to be a part of the impossible. Can I say, God doesn't need like an approval rating? The president's at 35% approval. The president's at 49%. The president's at 50%. You know, God's probably never broken 50%, and he's still always been right. Do you understand that? Saul tried to stop the impossibility of the church growing, and he became a part of the church. Isn't that something? The Jews tried to stop the impossibility of an uneducated man like Peter and James and John reaching the world, and yet they did it. The Pharisees tried to stop the impossibility of a man rising from the dead, and yet he rose from the dead. Rome tried to suppress the impossibility of the church reaching the world, and yet the farther that they persecuted them, the more they grew. You say, what am I saying? Trouble allows God to show up. Hudson Taylor says, "I have found there are three stages in every great work of God. First, it is impossible. Then it is difficult. Then it is done." I'm thankful for the impossibility of a sinless soul. You know, if you're saved today, your soul's been made sinless in the sight of God. I'm thankful for the impossibility of a sound mind. I'm thankful for the impossibility of a spiritually sound home. the impossibility of a clean conscience, the impossibility of a perfect Bible, all the things that the world says couldn't happen, God did. The birth of our Savior reminds us of that very valuable truth. Go back to Luke chapter 1 as we close. You know what the impossibility of Christmas brought? It brought joy to a traveling tribe of wise men. It brought joy to a group of shepherds, and it brought joy to a worried mom. We got any worried moms in here anywhere? Any moms worried about the future for their kids? Can I say that, you know what, in the midst of all of this stuff that's going on in the world, you can have joy. Look, if you would, in Luke 1, verse 47. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. Why? Because she was holding on to what she got 10 verses prior. Look at verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. What is it that you're doubting that God can do in your life? What is it that you're saying there's no way I can get past this? What is it that God wants to do? And you're saying, I would, but I can't. And God says, I can do this through you if you just let me. Maybe you're here without Jesus Christ. You go, there's no way all my sins could be washed away just like that. There's no way I could have a security of a home in heaven. Can I say this? It may seem impossible with you, but with God it's possible. Amen. Let's all stand, every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, this afternoon we come to you the best way we know how. Lord, it's been a long day. Lord, bless these that have listened and been here patiently. But God, you had business to do in the hearts and lives of these that came, and I pray that you would accomplish it and that nothing right now would cause it to fall short, to interrupt it, to distract from it. And God, that your people would respond to the word of God that touched their lives. Lord, help us, Lord, not to hold on to the fact that we think something's impossible, but Lord, rather help us to look for the impossible because of you. God, I don't know what things people are struggling with today. I don't know what issues they may have. I don't know what things they look at and see as impossible. But God, would you help them to see that with you, all things are possible. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as the piano player plays, the Lord has dealt with your heart. Would you make your way to the altar? You are invited this morning. I don't know what the impossibility is in your life, but you're looking at God's impossible work right here. You're looking at someone that by the world standards had no shot of making it, and because of the Lord, I'm here. I'm telling you that not to brag on me, but to brag on Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, what is that burden that you have that you say there's just no way? Would you be willing at least to be man enough or woman enough to talk to God about it and say, God, I this is impossible to me. I want to believe what he's saying. I want to believe you, God. Help thou mine unbelief. God, in the season where we worship and we glory and, oh, come let us adore him, where we think about all that you did by coming here, how miraculous all that was. Or would you help me to believe, or that you can do the impossible today? With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you're not so sure that if you died right now, God forbid, but just bear with me in the question. If you died right now, are you 100%, not 99, not 95, not 75, are you 100% sure that as these take their time, don't be in a rush, talk to the Lord, deal with them. Are you 100% sure that if you died right now, you'd be in heaven? If you're not, I saw some hands pop up, thank God for that. But if you're not so sure, can I invite you? Some of you came to church because you were invited. You don't have to, I'll make it real easy. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I would ask this: if you're lost, you've got questions about your eternity, you've got questions about your relationship with God, you're not so sure that if you died right now, you'd be in heaven, would you be willing to do me a favor? I won't embarrass you. I won't point you out. But as these pray, and as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you do me a favor and simply look up? By looking up, that's your way of saying, preacher, I don't know, but I'd like to know. Let me just say this. If that's you, can I invite you to do something that's a little bit different? I would invite you, if you're not sure about your eternity, you're not sure where this whole thing is headed, and the world is, boy, it's a mess today, isn't it? I can give you one thing that I know without a shadow of a doubt. I cannot tell you what will happen to the economy tomorrow. I can't tell you what's going to happen with your family, but I know this much. If I took my last breath right now, I'd be in the presence of God. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I don't have that because I'm a good guy or I'm a preacher. I have that because when I was 12 years old, I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Now, if you're here, you've never taken that step. Jesus says you must be born again. If that's you today, would you be willing to let someone show you from a Bible how to be saved? You say, what do you got to do? Well, we call an invitation. And if you're a man and you're willing to come forward and you say, well, I don't want anyone looking at me. Everyone's got their head bowed and their eyes closed, but let me just say this. It'd be much better to be embarrassed for a moment than to walk out of here without Jesus Christ. And don't let that pride stand in the way. That's what kept Herod from knowing who Jesus really was. Come forward. And I'll have, if you're a man, I'll have Brother Jose open a Bible and tell you how you can be saved. If you're a lady, I'll have my wife gladly show you from the Word of God how you can know without a shadow of a doubt that you know that you're going to heaven when you die. You can have a real relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, it's kind of hard for me to do that. That's okay. I get it. Can I encourage you to do something before you leave here? Please come talk to me. Talk to someone here that can open a Bible. Our deacon, Brother James, Brother Jose, who was up here earlier, Brother Craig. Just remember the man with the crazy snowman mask. Any of us can help you, show you how to be saved. Don't leave without knowing that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Has it been good to be here? I hope you got something. And, you know, my job is to make you fed spiritually. Now you're really hungry physically. I encourage you to enjoy lunch with your family. Don't forget, kids, we're staying here. We'll be eating here, all right? And parents, if you're staying with the kids, we'd appreciate you kind of helping them make sure that they maintain the food. Are we doing this upstairs, downstairs? We really don't. Do we have a preference? All right, we never talked about it. That's true. All right, we're talking now. Let's do it. Can we do it downstairs? Let's do it downstairs, all right, so we can eat downstairs. Those who are staying, go downstairs. And let me just invite you one more time. If you're here and you have questions about salvation, what it means to be saved, please don't leave today without getting that answered. And if you need something, call me. Text me. Put the pastor signal in the sky. Do something, all right? But be more than glad to help serve in any way that I can. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to ask Brother Jose, if you would, soon-to-be officer, Granados, right? All right, one more month. All right, that's awesome. Pray for him as he's going through police academy. And Brother, if you would, dismiss us in a word of prayer.